Welcome back to the Real Arsenal Deal podcast. This is your host, Rav, recording this about 20 minutes after the draw we've just seen play out between Arsenal and Nottingham Forest. Good morning or good evening to you, wherever you are in the world. Thank you for tuning in. And honestly, look, it was predictable, right? We failed to score again in the Premier League with all our injuries and all our issues and challenges up front. We've gone back-to-back consecutive league matches now without scoring a goal. We've taken 1 point from six. At least, though, if we scratch in for positives in what's going to be a very raw aftermath, literally the match has just finished 20 minutes ago, and as I've stepped away to record this, I saw that Liverpool are leading 2-0 against Newcastle, so that's going to be essentially a formality now. And the title... Look, the title was already done, right? So they're just extending their lead and gonna, I guess, they're inching closer towards, actually not inching closer, they're sprinting towards finalizing the title. So it's going to be a bit of a raw reaction, bit of a therapy session as well. It also helps me just compartmentalize my feelings on it, my frustrations, my thoughts, record the pod and just try and move forward with my day, I guess. It's still quite early here in the morning as I record this. Arsenal was so much better today. Was so, so much better. We deserved that win. Let's just get it straight. In comparison to the performance against West Ham, which was dire, and if you've listened to my previous few pods about that, I've given my very honest, direct feedback on that. It was unacceptable. You wouldn't have thought that there was a team still battling for a Premier League trophy with the performance and the energy and the intensity or lack thereof that we saw in that West Ham match. However, he was completely different. We absolutely battered them. I don't use that word lightly. We battered them, especially in that second half. We were the only team who looked like winning. Sure, a couple of moments on the counter that we looked a bit vulnerable as the game grew open and more stretched. We had Saliba make an incredible double effort against Wood in that second half. He intervened in the cutback across goal, and then he timed his sliding tackle beautifully to clear the danger. So look, other than that, I don't think we were too much troubled. There was one moment where they had a shot right. Raya had it well covered, parried the ball away. I'm not sure it was on target anyway, but you know he took care of the danger. I just don't really think we were that troubled. We had all the attacking threat in that second half. Look, before I talk too much about the second half, and sorry again, I'm lacking a little bit of structure on this. This is, as I've said, this is just after the match and I'm still sort of processing my own thoughts. So usually I would cover selection first. I think selection wasn't too surprising, so to speak. I did think that we need to find a way to get Jorginho in the team. I've been saying that for 12 months. I've been saying that in the aftermath of us going out to Bayern last season. I think you've got someone of the tactical nous and experience and leadership of Jorginho. You need to get him on the pitch, right? Need to get him on the pitch more, find a way. So I'm not surprised that he came in to the lineup. I did think Partey needed to step out. And look, when he came back in this match, his first few touches were just, it was just frustrating. But anyway, selection, it kind of took care of itself. I wondered, are we going to see a back five? I actually would have preferred it because Tierney's second half, it gave me so much hope, right? He gives you something so different. He gives you direct whipped crosses in from the left. On his left foot, he hugs the byline. He can pick out a cross. So I thought, are we going to see Tierney come in, maybe play a wing back system or a back five or something to that effect? But look, with Lewis Skelly's suspension, Calafiori had to start this one. I guess was Mikel Arteta's thinking. And let's get it out of the way nice and early. Calafiori was probably our main threat in the first half. I can see why he starts. I know there's a chorus of fans, and I understand the logic, who was saying that what changed the game against Leicester was bringing on, as the game got stretched, bringing on the attacking threat of Calafiori and Marino at the time. because they exposed the gaps. They took advantage of tired legs, the game becoming more and more end-to-end, wide open spaces to work in. It's not the same when you start. So with how stretched Arsenal are and how bereft of other options we really have, I can see why we've just had to keep starting Mourinho since, because clearly the manager has lost faith in Sterling, understandably. We'll come to him in a moment. And he's just not willing to roll the dice on another youth player like Nathan Butler, Owadeji, or someone else. So it is what it is, right? We just have to make do and try and nick the first goal and keep them out from there. So Calafiori came closest in the first half. That was an excellent spin and turn. He rocketed it on the right foot. And if you ever wanted a moment to encapsulate Arsenal's luck, I thought it to myself watching at the time, if you ever wanted a moment, that ball, it was beautifully in by Calafiori. He made something out of relatively nothing, twists and turns, rockets it on his right foot. And of course, it could have gone anywhere. It could have bounced in off the inside of the post and gone in for a goal. But no, it hits the post directly. And look where it lands. Safely, comfortably into the keeper's chest, into his arms. He was very gratefully accepted. He was beaten all ends up by the shot. And instead of the ball ricocheting in off the post to anyone else, anywhere else, can we get a rebound? Can someone there to be pounce and just, you know, tap it over the line? Of course not. It goes straight back to the keeper. If you ever wanted to encapsulate the luck Arsenal have this season, it was that. And I looked at it and just shook my head and thought, yep, you know, just sometimes you just got to say, like, what can you do? It's just not your day, not your season. But Calafiori was awesome. He was roasted early in the opening minutes and, look, gave away a yellow card. Was it a yellow? Look, it probably was, but it's not often you see referees give like the first clear fouls like that so early in the match, 2 minutes in. It's not often you see them brandish a yellow. Maybe he felt a bit bad because a minute later he did the same to a Forest player, right? It's a bit at odds with how other referees sort of, you know, give a little bit of leeway in the opening stages of the matches and before they start brandishing cards. But look, anyway, the implications of that for Arsenal were pretty big. I was thinking to myself, my God, the last thing we need now is another rash tackle or rash moment and to have a second yellow and Arsenal play yet again with 10 men. We just can't afford to do that. And I think that was Arteta's logic in bringing off Calafiori. I think he was aware as the game goes on and on and how much they're attacking that side. All it takes is one rash moment to be caught on the counter or something and we're playing with 10 men again. So my only question mark with that was, Was there a tactical or formation shift that we could have made to accommodate bringing on someone else at left back, say a Tierney at left back, and retain Calafiori somehow? Could he be the third defender in a back three or something? Just to keep his attacking threat, because he was a chaos agent, right? He was the wild card. He was the one making those direct attacking runs, and he's got the height and the physicality and the speed and acceleration to really cause some damage. So look, I guess that was my major question mark at the time. Tierney came on in the second half. I thought he was excellent, right? I do feel he should be featured more. We need to find ways now to see, can he even play more minutes as a left wing? I don't know. This is where Arsenal are at, because we are so toothless in attack. We just don't create enough, unfortunately. And the irony in saying that, I understand, right, that the stats and the evidence are probably counterproductive, right? Because we actually really did create some good chances, some good openings. I'll talk about them in a minute. But from open play, our interchanging of passes, we get to a certain point where we're just negated. They block us off too easy. We go wide. That horseshoe of death seems to come into play again and again. Odegaard is not the same, right? He's not able to unpick the lock or even drive forward himself in the final third and take shots on goal. That's really dried up. Trossard's goals have dried up. We're looking to Ethan, who again I thought was very, very good today. Very elegant footballer. Beautiful touch. Beautiful to watch. The ball cushions at his feet. He runs directly. But like I've been saying, continuously, we've got to manage his minutes. We've got to manage his load. We saw him cramping against West Ham and needed to come off. And the last thing we need now is for Ethan to cop an injury, right? Because this is his first real run of successive games that he's been able to manage these minutes, manage this load. He's playing senior football now, like in the Premier League against grown men, right? It's very, very different to playing under 18s, under 21s football, right? It's just completely, completely different. And he's doing incredibly well, and I'm so proud of him. We also need to protect him, right? Because if we lose him for an extended period of time, like whatever Arsenal are playing for in the remaining months of this season, Champions League, trying to advance there and retain second spot in the Premier League, if he goes down, we're in even more further trouble, right? That's putting it lightly. So look, he understandably came off. What I will say is just overall in the second half, I think taking the raw emotion out of it, which I try as best as I possibly can to still maintain a sense of balance, be measured, and make considered comments. I think Arsenal were incredible in the second half. Whatever Arteta said at halftime, whatever the players said amongst themselves, there was a willingness, there was an intent. It was sorely lacking against West Ham. And my major regret was, like, you know, where was this then? Because all of a sudden we've taken 1 point from six these last two matches. It could have easily been 4 points or 6 points, right, if we played with that energy and intent from the outset. So the Arsenal players amongst themselves, I think they drew a line in the sand and said, nah, enough's enough. We're not bound down without a fight here. They went for it. We deserved that win. We absolutely deserved it. The Mourinho header from the back post, from the corners, right? We haven't seen that threat in so long. How long has it been since Arsenal scored from a corner? It wasn't too long ago. Teams were scared. They were fearful to concede a corner against Arsenal, right? The crowd, there was nervousness and jitterness, right? But between not getting the delivery right, Saka being out is a major component of that. He used to land the ball on a dime, right? Gabriel hasn't scored from a header in a while, and teams have sort of worked us out a little bit from there. We just haven't scored for so long. And Mourinho ghosted beautifully to the back post, made clear, excellent contact. It's a good save. Again, in another moment, with an element of luck, it could have ricocheted in from someone else or a defender or you know, even from the keeper's arms or his head, it could have gone in. But look, they kept us out. The one that they haven't showed enough replays on at the time, and which I thought was the most glaring chance, was Tierney from the corner. From point-blank range, like it was millimetres away. It missed the... That was unsavable. The keeper was nowhere. The defenders were nowhere. And I think on the brief times they've shown it, right, it looked like Mourinho, unfortunately, just collided into Tierney, right? He's about to make contact with the header. Like, it was just a really unfortunate moment, because if Tierney was otherwise... He had that on toast. He probably would have scored, but just that last touch, that last body leaning in, I'm going to need to see it again. Sorry if I've got this wrong. But that seems to throw him off balance, and instead of the ball hitting the back of the net, it's gone millimetres wide. And, you know, that's football, right? That's the game. As the game wore on, Jorginho understandably came off. I thought Zinchenko was better here than he was against West Ham, playing that unfamiliar midfield role for Arsenal. Haven't really seen it before until the last few days. I thought he was much better, much more direct, right? He gave us good distribution across, linked well on the left-hand side. Partey came on, and geez, that I know it was his first touch and he's just come on, but Jesus, you've got to get that shot on target, right? Like he was right in front of the goal. It's just, I know there are some defenders floating around, but Partey has hit goals from that distance, from that spot before. He's rocketed a few into the top corner. And to not even get it on target, it just you know, trickled wide. It was very underhit and just awfully placed. It was disappointing. A minute or two later, he gave the ball away, and just, you know, we were caught again on the counter, and thankfully we kept them out. But look, I don't want to be too negative, because as I've said, the performance was certainly there. However, I can't not comment on just the last few minutes, right? Sterling coming on. I don't want to do a pile on. You've heard me talk at length about Sterling and the circumstances of that transaction and him as a footballer and a player and his career. I don't want to do all this again. Like, we're surely at the point now, like, we need to be looking elsewhere. We need to look at other alternatives. Rice had the ball clear in play, driving up on the right-hand side on the right corridor. And I thought Rice was much, much better today. He was back to making those driving runs from midfield and driving the ball forward. He
He was clear. He had clear space. He just needed the target. He needed someone. And he looked up and like Odegaard and Sterling, everyone, that they were all just in each other's space. They were all in each other's areas. Like he needed someone to present themselves, like to make space, you know, wide, and no one did. And then all of a sudden he's just sort of dribbled the ball towards the touchline, and he's just passed it over to them. It was just bizarre. And you saw his hands thrown up in frustration. And maybe that's what him and Gabriel were mentioning. They both had an animated conversation post-match, right? They were seen to be pointing, gesturing in that sort of area, wondering, like, you know, WTF just happened there. And then we earned the free kick with about 20, 30 seconds to go, right? If there was ever a time to get the set piece delivery right, we had all the key players lined up, you know, as we do when we set up for a free kick. And Rice's delivery was awful. We couldn't even beat the first Forest man. It was just terrible. And again, without being too dramatic all over this, but if you just ever wanted to encapsulate, summarize Arsenal's season, it's captured in these moments, right? Just when you just need a bit of luck to fall your way, where you just need to get the little basics correct and play to your strengths. We just haven't been able to unpick the lock, unfortunately. And look, it is what it is, right? This is the reality of our season. We're going to struggle to score. I think that 2-0 win over Leicester has really glossed over, maybe papered over some real cracks that have been evident for quite some time. We struggle against these low blocks. It's been Arteta's kryptonite for so long. Even with a full strength team, even with the likes of Saka, Havertz, Martinelli and Trossard, Jesus, like we've struggled against these low blocks, right? These mid blocks. We've struggled to unpick the lock. We've had so many draws, right, against, you know, the likes of Everton and whatnot at different points of the season and seasons gone past, where we've just failed to score. Fulham, right, Aston Villa, like it's just, we just this is nothing new for Arsenal, even with our best players, our fully fit players available. And yes, you know, we need that clinical finisher. We all know that. We all know the business Arsenal need to do in the summer. How does that help us right now? Unfortunately, it doesn't, because we have who we have right now. And teams are going to predictably set up this way. They know just to keep us out, right? That they know how to. They've watched it and they've seen Arsenal week by week suffer injury after injury, and our attacking options, our attacking threat become more and more limited, more and more restricted now, to the point where we are trying to unlock different options, different opportunities, different avenues to goal, such as playing, you know, the likes of Calafiori in that more attacking role, playing the likes of Zinchenko in midfield, which Arteta has never been, he's been so reluctant to do every time he's been asked about it over the years, right? Playing White now as that overlapping forward and trying to just, you know, find different avenues, different pathways to goal. It's going to be a real slog, and it is. However, the attacking threat, the attacking intent was there. Like, I really, really want to hammer this point home. I know everyone's probably frustrated and despairing a bit, and, you know, by the time I finish recording this, Liverpool are probably won, and they're, what is it, 12 points now, 13, whatever it is, right? The title's done. So I understand there's frustration, and, you know, this stuff, you know, who wants to hear this? So, oh, Arsenal were really good, we kind of deserve to win, we were a bit unlucky. You know, no one wants to hear that, because it's we've heard it all before, right? We've processed that loop round and round in our heads so many times. Yeah. So you certainly don't want to hear it from me. However, it's just in your own way, in your own processing, your own coping mechanisms, just please try and keep that front of mind. We went for it here and we just didn't have the answer. We didn't have the answers. We now have another week until PSV to keep finding the answer. And I'm confident we will. I guess I'm confident we'll see a performance like this. Whether that converts into goals or not, that's the real question mark. And it has to be the mentality. It just has to be, right? You see how openly Arteta talks and how positive his mindset and mentality is, because it has to be, right? Elite teams, if you want to win stuff, you got to go through this sort of crap. Like you kind of have to. Progress is not linear. You have to take some hits and suffer at times. And Arteta uses that word a lot. And boy, have we suffered this season. Boy, have we suffered you know, during this match. And that stings. It hurts. It hurts as a player. It hurts as a fan watching it. We must channel this, right? Because we now have a week to prepare for that PSV match. We must find a way against them. Because if we play like this, and we just tweak some finishing touches and we get a few elements of luck in our favor, right? I'm very confident we can get the job done and advance because we just have to, right? Like there's still so much to play for. I reiterate what I said on my preview pod that I don't think Arsenal are going to spiral out of control, at least in this draw, right? We've maintained our gap, our lead over Forest in third place. I know City won, I believe they've won. Please correct me if I'm wrong, right? However, we have enough of a points buffer, I think, to protect us from really spiraling out of control from second place. Do we want to dress up and congratulate ourselves and pat ourselves on the back for finishing second place again? No, that's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is we need to protect our position, maintain momentum, and capitalize on what we can do in the league with the Champions League. We need to find that momentum again and just, you know, keep this positivity going. Because if we spiral out of control in the league, I guarantee you that's gonna permeate in the Champions League too. And that's a scenario we just cannot entertain. And I'm sure Arteta is not going to allow that or entertain that fact either. So we must use this second half, right? You know, reanalyze what went right, what went wrong, and how can we extend this further against PSV next week? There's a few players knock on the door, right? I really liked what I saw from Tierney. I think he needs to come into the conversation. I know we have a number of options at left back. Lewis Skelly will come back in probably for that. Calafiori, of course, maybe as an impact sub, we can utilize him. Tierney on the left as a left wing, right? You know, it's something we really got to look at because I think the longer this goes on, the more and more we need to remove Sterling from that list of options as a forward, right? And I don't say that lightly and I don't like saying that. However, this is the reality. I think we need to start looking at different options. Sterling, I've already mentioned the young man, Butler, Owedeji, right? We just need to start looking at different alternatives, different options, because you can't just keep doing the same things again and again and expect something different. And to Arsenal's credit, to Arteta's credit, we didn't just do the same things. We threw the kitchen sink here, right? Between the substitutions, the formation changes, right? Bringing other players into the games, into different positions. We really tried. And just unfortunately, we just couldn't get it done. And that's going to be a common theme, I feel, in the remaining months of the season. But the fortune favours the bold, right? The more and more we maintain this energy, this intent, this luck, I feel we'll cut some breaks. We just got to capitalise. And look, I'm not sure if that makes you feel any better, but it helps me a little bit compartmentalise this. And I realise I'm waffling on a little bit now. And so I'll try and wrap this up with, try your best, try and stay positive, try and compartmentalize the performance, process it in your own way. I hope this was a little bit therapeutic for you as well. Please let me know what you think, if you agree with anything or you don't. I'd love to hear your feedback or suggestions or comments. I know after a performance like this, no one wants to hear the little requests such as, you know, please, if you can, leave me a like or a comment or a subscribe or a review on podcast apps. So I won't go too hard on that. I'd greatly appreciate if you could do that, please. But otherwise, I totally understand. I share everyone's frustrations. Please remember, though, this was much, much better. And I'm just hoping we see more of this application in the next few months because you just never, never know where it's going to take us. But look, I'll leave it there for now. Thank you so much again for tuning in. Take care. I'll be back on in a few days' time to talk more as we build up for the next match. But right now, you know, just look after yourselves and keep positive, keep supporting the team. And you just never, never know. Thank you again, and come on, Arsenal.